listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. Then the fourth stanza, what is man that he should be loved and visited by thee, raised to an exalted height, crowned with honor in thy sight, how great thy name. And then the chorus, Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how great thy name, thine the name of matchless worth, excellent in all the earth, how great thy name.
Matchless world.
reading once again today from the book of Proverbs. God's call to us, beginning at verse 22 of the first chapter. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Then shall they seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they were none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. How thankful we can be for that last verse, that there is a call to hear the voice of God. Let's give thanks for these words and pray that God will give us ears to hear and hearts to understand. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, thy Son. We come through him who is wisdom and who can be made unto us wisdom, as well as righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We give thanks that there is hope, Father, for sinners in thee through Christ. And we pray in his name that the Holy Spirit may be sent to teach us, to convict us, to open our hearts to receive the word, to lead once again the church into all truth and to revive it, to make it one, as Lord Jesus, you prayed for, that the church might be one, that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ. We pray that that might take place now, that that prayer might be answered. We pray, Father, for our nation. We pray for all nations. We pray especially for the homes in our nation and the church, that the church might once again be made a salt and a light in this nation and in every nation, that peace on earth, goodwill through Christ might come once again, and that we might have, as we read in those last words, that we can dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Many other nations suffering it terribly, and we in fear of it. We pray also for those in sickness and injury. We pray for our homes and the needs in them. We pray for those in hunger and the homeless, the sorrowing, the lonesome, the elderly. We pray for the schools. We pray for our government, our leaders. We pray, Father, that they might have the fear of thee, which is the beginning of wisdom, and may not be left as described here. We ask it all and give thanks through Christ. Amen. Looking again at these words from the book of Proverbs that we looked at last week, hopefully we'll all want to come to the end of the chapter, which we didn't spend much time on last week, or come to it. Hopefully these words will register to all of us that we will hearken. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Both the actual blessing, dwell safely, and the fear as well. Many today are in fear. We dwell safely for the most part. Not everybody. People are dying, killing one another. Terrorists are killing numbers. We hear of people dying under the authorities of the law, and sadly, terribly, policemen are dying wrongly. We are in a dangerous place, and there is reason for fear. God gives the answer why it has come upon us. Last week we read, Wisdom crieth it out, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, and the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her word, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. If there ever was a time that is fulfilled, it's our time. We are living in a time, as Paul described it to Timothy. In the last days there will be perilous times. Men would be covetous, and lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, children disobedient to parents, all these evil things. And one of them would be not wanting to endure sound doctrine, keeping themselves teachers having itching ears, and other ways described, even the church having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We have become like that. In the church, it has become a salt that has lost its savor. I hear of those who speak of persecution, and there is that for some, but I do not believe that's our greatest fear and the greatest problem. Our greatest fear should be that we have become a salt that have lost its savor, that we are like this, not listening to God. And when we have become like that, God here tells us he, in the end, won't listen to us. What a terrible time that is, when we are beyond God hearing us, God answering us, God helping us, leaving us to ourselves. Read about God giving them over to a reprobate mind. And earlier in that chapter as well, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We are there. People are asking why others are doing this. Why do any of us do it? Why do all of us do it? We are, as the scripture says, you simple ones, we love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. God tells us of Israel that they perish because of a lack of knowledge, a lack of knowledge of that which is right. We have been given lies over and over in the schools, government. Sadly, the church has joined with it. We are in that time when we will not endure sound doctrine, the doctrine of God that tells us who we are and what we are like. Sinners, terribly. We need to believe it as God says it of us, and not scorn it. Many popular preachers have said we need new ways, and it has led more to psychology than to true preaching and repentance and faith, and then obedience. God still says here, Turn you at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit unto you, and will make known my words unto you. He is doing that today. He is calling. Even when the church fails, God is still there. No matter what the church does or the people do, God is always right. Always right. In judgment and grace. Always right. Always better than we deserve. We deserve hell. We've earned the wages of sin, which is death, individually and collectively, as a nation. We are there, but God is still speaking. God speaks in many ways, even when he no longer speaks through the church. When we get a time, as Amos said, there will be a time not of the famine of bread, but of the hearing of the word of God. But God does speak. Psalm 19 says, The heavens declare the glory of God. They continue to speak. Other ways as well. And all of creation. In Romans chapter 1, we read, Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. All we have to do is look around, look up, see all of nature. see God's eternal power, His Godhead, then we should want to know more. We should see that and say, I need to know more of that God. I need to know more from that God. But God doesn't picture us that way. And rather, He says, though we are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's where we are more than at any other time probably in history. Teaching everywhere. In the church, in the college, in seminaries, in schools. Evolution. The lie of it. Yes, the lie of it. Did evolution bring the four seasons? Spring, summer, fall, winter? Did evolution bring seed time and harvest? Did evolution bring the new moon every 29 days? It's there, testifying of the Godhead, testifying of His power, testifying of His wisdom, testifying also of His mercy. And He gives us this, especially in our area, giving us the blessing of the sunshine and the rain when others are, some of them, under judgment, under these elements of nature. Yes, we have that. And we have not only nature, but we have other ways that even when the church becomes a salt that has lost its savor, we have government. It comes from God. We read in Paul's letter to the church at Rome, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We are sadly in the dangerous place where our leaders are denying what our forefathers have given us as order and rules for government. Our Constitution is being flaunted, it's being denied, being changed, denied, added to. It's there. God gave it to our forefathers, and through them has given it to us, a voice that's still speaking. And God can well say now to us, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? We are scorning the blessings of the past. We are trying to change our own history of our country, not acknowledging who they were, what they believed, what they did, and why. They knew the last part of this chapter. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Yes, there were troubles all through the history of our nation, but certainly not like now. In the home, in the government, one against another, so sadly, awful, and terribly, terribly, the sin of killing the unborn by the thousands. When one gets killed, it's in the paper. But when 3,000 a day are killed, literally every day, do you read of it? Do you hear of it? Yes, we hear of those who wickedly speak of wanting to keep those rights to do wrong, wanting to kill the unborn, wanting a right to be murderers, wanting even to kill them in the most hideous ways. The partial birth abortion, having that child partially born and then stabbing it in the neck and taking out part of that body. I won't even say what. It's so terrible. And we have had a president that signed a veto when Congress said this should be stopped. Wicked. Very wicked. And we continue to have wicked leaders that are denying the ways of God. and the ways of our past, the ways in which God is still calling us. Yes, we have the way of nature. We have the way of government. We have, should have, the way of the church. It has been commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. It has been commanded that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. But when the church fails, we still have one thing that we can be very thankful for. Most of you have the Word of God in your house. You have the true Word from heaven. The church divides and the church differs, but the Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is a light on our path. The Word of God brings us to repentance. The Word of God can bring us to faith. The Word of God can bring us to be both hearers and doers of the Word, if we hear it and then are willing to do it. Like we saw some weeks ago, from the words of written Psalm 110, where David wrote, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." And along with it, he said, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." We have the Word, the Scriptures, the Bible, millions of them in our homes. Read them before they're taken away from you, like in other countries, like they were taken away in China. They were taken away in Russia, taken away in other places. And the right to believe them and to practice them was taken away. Yes, God can leave us to a reprobate mind in the church, in the home, in government, everywhere, even though he continues to speak and continues to call, but he may not continue to answer. "I will laugh when your calamity comes. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, when your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." The one book that we can have the perfect knowledge from. We don't want it in our schools. We don't want it to be taught. Years back, one part of the church persecuted another part. And then those who were persecuted, some of them, first of all, before we became an independent nation, went to England for help and for protection. Then later, when we became a nation, became an independent nation, we had those that went to government and asked for an amendment to our Constitution that would protect. And they wanted an amendment to have freedom of spiritual things, freedom of religion, freedom to practice it, that other churches could not stop them, overpower them, imprison them, as they were doing. And that has led now to the misconception that we think more about freedom from religion than we do in freedom in religion. Our Congress, in its earlier years, bought Bibles, ordered them, bought them, had them shipped in from even other countries when we didn't print them here yet. They did that. They gave us a day of prayer. They gave us a day of thanksgiving. And now the whole thing is twisted and turned. We want a freedom from religion. Our forefathers only wanted freedom from persecution. They wanted freedom to practice what God had said. And that's where we should be, and that's what we should want. And there are those who so much do like God says here. "Fools hate knowledge. You have set at naught all my counsel with none of my reproof." Will those be the first ones to be punished? I don't know. Will it be the church who has been given so much? And some of these people may have never had the blessing that those in the church do. But all of us together are guilty They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. And sadly, I've seen that in the church over and over. God reproves. He reproves in the church amongst ourselves. He reproves in the church concerning our homes. He reproves in the church as he did, and he has the examples of it, where we see John the Baptist speaking to Herod, where we see Paul speaking to King Agrippa, to Felix, to Festus, making them tremble, making King Agrippa say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul wasn't satisfied with almost. He wanted it entirely. But our time is fleeting, and I want to go to this wonderful promise. If we but hear and listen and obey, we have this promise. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Yes, we could be safe in the midst of persecution. And even if persecution should come and destroy the body, we will be kept safe in the soul, safe in eternal life, safe in peace with God, safe in having peace toward our neighbor, even though others may not have it toward those who believe. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. God has the answer. He has his word. All we have to do is listen, believe it, obey it where we can and must. But first of all, simply in believing, having faith in God through Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise